Turn with me back to Philippians 1. My hope tonight is that this will be a real help. That's my hope, that this will be a real help to each one of us. Something that we can take home with us. Something we can leave here with and take it home. And I pray that the Lord might give us an understanding, a true understanding and a comfort in what He has to say through the Apostle Paul right here in these two verses. Verse 12, Philippians 1, verse 12, the Apostle writes, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me." That's the title of this message. The things which happened unto me, but we're going to put it in the form of a question. Why do things happen? That's the title. Why do things happen? A lot of things happened to Paul. A lot of things. We went through the book of Acts. He endured a lot of things. A lot of things. More than we'll ever dream of enduring. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 11. Second Corinthians 11, verse 23, Paul says, "Are they ministers of Christ?" He's talking about other preachers. He said, "I speak as a fool. I am more. I'm more of a minister of Christ than they are. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft." He said, "I endured more than anybody. I endured more than anybody, any other man." Verse 24 says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." They whipped me five times with 39 stripes. 39 stripes. Matthew Poole, one of the commentators, said the whip that the Jews used had three cords on the end of it. Every time it hit, it lacerated in three places. Times 39. They literally filleted his back open. You imagine that? 3 times 39, whatever that is. 117 or something. He said, "That happened to me five times." Can you imagine the scarring on his back? Can you imagine? He says in verse 25, "Thrice was I beaten with rods." The Jews whipped and the Gentiles beat with rods. Can you imagine the broken bones? Can you see a man being beaten with rods? Broken arms, broken ribs, broken legs. Can you imagine that? They weren't messing around. They beat him with the intent of killing him. Verse 25, he says, "Once was I stoned." Try to imagine that. Men, the big men, continuously reaching down, grabbing the biggest rocks they can get a hold of and throwing them at your head until they believe you're dead. They don't stop until they believe you're dead. They keep coming, and they keep coming, and they keep coming until they think you're dead. Verse 25, he said, thrice I suffered shipwreck. One of the commentators pointed out that he wrote this letter to the Corinthians before he was shipwrecked on the island of Malta. So at least four times. At least four times he was in a ship that went down. After a while, you would think his flesh would start to say, I don't believe God is with me. After a while, you would think he would start saying to himself, I don't believe God is for me. He is the one who penned, if God be for us, who can be against us? Don't you think after a while he'd start saying, I don't think God is for me. Verse 25, he said, a night and a day I have been in the deep. I had to tread water for over 24 hours out in the middle of the ocean. Verse 26 says, in journeyings often, in perils of water. Perils means danger. In journeyings often, in danger of waters, in danger of robbers, in danger of mine own countrymen, in danger by the heathen, in danger in the city, in danger in the wilderness, in danger in the sea, in danger among false brethren. He said, I've spent some time in danger. Verse 27, he said, in weariness, great exhaustion. He said, and painfulness. He said, I've spent some time where I couldn't do anything but squirm in pain. Couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, just hurt. That's all I could do is just hurt. Verse 27, he said, in watchings often. He said, I've spent hours in fear, just fear. Watching behind me, watching around the corner, watching what's coming at me. Verse 27, he said, in hunger and thirst. He said, I've experienced hunger and thirst like I'll never imagine. Verse 27, he said, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He said, forget about those things that are happening to my outward body. Forget about that. He said, I suffer the crushing inward burden of the word I carry and the souls that I preach it to. He said, I spend so much time worrying about men's souls, I don't have time to worry about my own body. I don't have time for that. Jeremiah, Zechariah, Malachi, those prophets, God's prophets, they wrote about the burden of the word of the Lord. Verse 29 says, who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. So many things happened to the Apostle Paul. So many things. But he's not the only one. He's not the only one. We could look at any of the men and women in Scripture. We could also look at any of the men and women in this room. I truly do believe that none of us will have to endure anything like the Apostle Paul did. None of us. Not like Job did. Not like Paul did. But every single one of us will have things to endure. Every single one of us. Things will happen. They will happen. Now let's see if we can draw a little comfort and understanding in knowing why. Why? Why do things happen? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." The first thing we need to realize in everything is he's the one doing it. He is the one doing it. How often do we forget that? He is the one doing it. Why do things happen? First of all, because he's the one doing it. God is doing it. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." All things. He's doing it. Whatever it is, all things, whatever it is, he's doing it. He's doing it. Why is this happening? God's doing it. I don't know every reason why, but God is the one doing it. Look at 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." There's a Father of whom are all things, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. All things. So the first thing we acknowledge is God is doing it. God is doing it. Whatever it is, he's doing it. Now why? He's doing it. Now why? I have three reasons. Three reasons why everything that happens to us happens to us. Here's the first one. I want to show you a verse of Scripture. And I mean this, every time I read this verse of Scripture and enter into it, it's a wow moment to me. Every time, you know, sometimes we read a verse of Scripture and we pass right over it, but every time God allows me to enter into it, it's a revelation to me. The light bulb comes on again every single time. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 8. Now, do we even need to turn? Romans 8, verse 28 says, "And we know," we forgot, but we know. Every time we're reminded, it's like, oh yes, I know that. Thank God he's convinced us of it. We know that all things work together for good. Oh, that's awful. No, it's not. All things work together for good. To them that love God, the actual God, the God of Scripture, the true and living God, the one they have to bow down to, not the one they control, the actual one that controls them. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If a soul has been placed in Jesus Christ, first I'm going to say, all that soul's troubles are over. They're all over. As soon as they're in Him, that's it. It's over. It is all over. If a soul has been placed in Jesus Christ, if God chose that soul, if Christ died for that soul, and if God's Spirit has called that soul according to His purpose, everything that happens to that soul is for the purpose of good from there on out. From there on out. And it was always good up until the time that God revealed Himself to them. It was always good. Every single thing that happened to us in life was conforming us to the image of Christ. It was bringing us to Christ. Every single thing. After God puts a sinner in Christ, every single thing that happens to him is good, is for the purpose of good. Now, what is good? Well, good is whatever happens to me that I like. Good is anything that happens for my benefit, my physical, material benefit. Good is God. There is none good but God. All things work together for God. Everything. Everything is working together for His will, for His purpose. Everything He does is good, and it's for the good of His people. Every single thing. All right, now here's the second reason. This leads us into the second reason. Go back to our text in Philippians 1. Philippians 1 verse 12 says, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." The ultimate good on this earth, the greatest good that this earth can know, is the salvation of a soul. That's the greatest good that can happen on this earth. The salvation of the soul. And our Lord said that He would use the means of the preaching of the gospel. That's what He said He chose. That means the preaching of the blood of Jesus Christ. We preach Christ crucified over and over and over. Full remission in what He accomplished on that cross. And the reason is because that's the means God chose to save souls, to open blind eyes and save souls. And he said, when my children hear this declaration, that it's finished. When they hear, when God's Spirit sends that into their heart, it is finished. That is the power of God unto their salvation. They will respond to it. And Paul said, I know the things that have happened to me appear to be bad. Here he is in prison. He's in Rome. And he said, I know it appears like it's bad, but he said, everything that has happened is good because it's for the furtherance of the gospel. Every single thing. It's for good and it's for the furtherance of the gospel. Every single thing. That's if we could get a hold of that in every facet of our life. Why is this happening? Somehow it's for the furtherance of the gospel. I would love to be dialed into that. All right, this just happened. How can that further the gospel? The furtherance of the gospel is for good. It's for the furtherance of the gospel, the salvation of a soul. Let me show you that in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Now, this is Paul, right? The Apostle Paul. His name hasn't been changed yet. Acts 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. You envision, what if a great persecution came and literally broke up this church? Everybody had to go. And they went to Pikeville and they went all these other places. We're not having this anymore. Verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering in every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Because of that, that's what they did. Preaching the word. They ran all over the place. Saul of Tarsus ran them all over the place preaching the word. He was just pushing the word far and wide. Look at Acts 11. Acts 11, verse 19 says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Every bit of that was the result of what seemed to be bad things taking place. After God saved Saul, the Apostle Paul, everywhere he went, God opened a door of utterance for him. Everywhere he went, God opened a door to preach. They put him in jail. They handed him to a Philippian jailer and said, thrust him in the prison. He preached. They brought him on trial. He preached. They put him in a ship. He preached. He was shipwrecked. He preached. They put him in a prison in Rome. He wrote and preached. Everything, everywhere, God opened a door for the gospel. Everywhere. Now let me show you something wonderful. See if you enjoy this as much as I have. This is wonderful. Go back to our text. Philippians 1. Verse 12 says, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace." If you have a center margin in your Bible, you'll see that that translates Caesar's court. Caesar's court. That's where he's being held prisoner, in Caesar's court. Here Paul sits in Rome writing this letter to the Philippians. And he says at the end of verse 12, "The things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all Caesar's court and in all other places." What does he mean by that? Or why is he saying that? Look at chapter 4, verse 22. Philippians 4, verse 22. "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." Do you know what that means? Here Paul sits in his prison, in his hired house of Caesar's house, and Caesar's family is listening as these men come and talk to Paul, and he's preaching. He's writing and preaching. And some of Caesar's family heard the gospel. God saved them. Paul said, "Don't worry about the things that are happening. Do not worry about the things that are happening. God is doing it. It's all good. Everything I'm seeing is good. And it's all for the furtherance of the gospel. It is all for the salvation of men and women's souls. Every bit of it." The same truth holds firm today. Today. Every single thing that happens. You watch the Weather Channel. Why is all that stuff happening? Somebody's going to be saved. Every single thing that happens is for the furtherance of the gospel. The only reason the earth will rotate one more time, the only reason the sun will go one more time, is because God has still more sheep to call out. That's the whole reason. That's the only purpose of earth, is he's going to call out his sheep. Everything is happening for the salvation of men's souls. May God allow us to not be confused and not be concerned and not be overwhelmed by the things that happen to us. May he settle us to understand. Okay, I understand. Things happen and you don't know why it's happening, but if God would reveal to us somebody's salvation through it, I'd do that again. I'd do that again. Everything that happens is for good. It's for the furtherance of the gospel, and there's one more glorious reason. Go with me to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Why do things happen? Number one, that good might come. Number two, that the gospel might go farther. And number three, that God might be glorified. That's the reason, that God might be glorified. Now, I'll leave you with this. I'll close with this verse of Scripture. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 15 says, "For all things are for your sakes." Isn't that wonderful? All things are for the sake of God's people. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound unto the glory of God. That's what we're doing here, is giving thanks, isn't it? I love how after our Lord healed that deaf man, when they all saw it, all the people saw it, they all cried, "He has done all things well." He's done all things well. Verse 16, "For which cause we faint not." This is how we keep going. This is what strengthens us to keep going. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." May God comfort our hearts and give us an understanding of that. It's all for good. It's all for the salvation of a soul. And it's all for the glory of God. Okay, let's stand together.